All right, it is here. It's here, it's here, it's here. You guys excited about Christmas? Okay, we'll work on that. But we will get there because it is time to get excited about Christmas. And I know some of you out there, you're Scrooges, you don't like Christmas. I get it. I used to work for UPS. I hated Christmas, despised Christmas. The idea of Christmas made me nauseous. But I've gotten over that throughout the years, and now it's time for us to get excited about Christmas. If you're here today and you think, man, I don't know if I can get excited about Christmas, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to go volunteer in Grace Kids for the next couple weeks. You need to, because there is an excitement about Christmas when it comes to kids that is contagious. It's contagious. And you may think you're not going to catch it, but you will catch it. You will catch it. This past weekend, we were putting up, not this weekend, but the weekend before, we were putting up our Christmas tree in my house. And at the beginning of it, I was kind of in a bad mood. I don't really know. I wasn't excited about Christmas. My son's bouncing off the walls. It's Christmas. I can't believe it's Christmas. I'm so excited. It's Christmas. And at the beginning, I was like, oh, come on. And by the end, I was like, it's Christmas. I can't believe it's Christmas. There's a contagious excitement when it comes to kids and Christmas. So sometimes I look at that and I think, man, I wish I could celebrate Christmas like that again. I wish I could celebrate Christmas like that again. Because I remember when it was like that for me. I remember when I couldn't sleep. You go to bed on Christmas Eve and everything inside of you says, I'm going to stay up all night. You don't. You fall asleep in probably 15 minutes. But there's something that says, man, I'm so excited. And there's this life there and there's this energy and there's this joy there. And I look at that and think, man, I wish I could celebrate like that again. But something happens to us. Something happens to us. We grow up and we become boring adults. We do. Yeah, just face it. You're a boring adult, okay? We grow up and we become boring. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, I'm not boring. I'm the life of the party. Yeah, no, believe me. Here's how you know, because I've been thinking about this. Because some of you are. You're more exciting than I am. You get more excited than I am. Okay, great. That doesn't take a lot, but you're there. And so you're more naturally saying, no, I'm the life of the party. Here's how you know you still don't enjoy life or experience life like a kid. Because if I were to take you and shrink you and put you in a kid's party, no one would say, oh, look at that kid. It's the life of the party. No, you know what they'd say? That's a weird kid. That's what they'd say. Because there's something that happens to us. There's something that happens to us. We grow up and we begin to lose it. We lose our ability to be able to enjoy things that way. We lose our ability to be able to celebrate that way. Something happens and we lose it. And over the past week, after experiencing that with my boys as we were set up the Christmas tree, over the past week, I've been engaging God about Christmas because we're walking into the series And I'd actually written out our whole series and what we're going to talk about. We had a passage picked out that we're going to walk through and look at. It was really good. But as I walked into the beginning of this week, I began to grow more and more uncomfortable with it. And so at the beginning of this week, I just spent a significant amount of time just going before God and saying, God, is this where you want us to go? Is this where you want us to go? Or is there something else that you want for us to see? And I felt like the series was really good. Felt like the series was really good, and I thought it was something that we needed to hear, but I wasn't convinced, and I was growing uncomfortable with the timing of it. And I felt like God was beginning to call me to something else and call us to something else. He wanted to be able to speak into our lives as we move through this Christmas season. And so if you open up your online program, you're going to see that the creative team put together this really great memory verse for your phone that you can download and put on the front of your phone so you can memorize it as we walk through the series. You look at your online program, you're going to see this great memory verse that we were going to talk through. We're not going to talk about it at all. We have completely changed direction because I think that there's something really, really powerful that God wants to speak into our lives as it pertains to Christmas. And it was birthed out of just me coming before God saying, God, are you sure this is where we should go? Should we change direction? And at the same time, having this conversation of, and I wish I could celebrate that. And I'm having both of these conversations and just engaging God about both of them. And then all of a sudden, I felt like God was just calling me to this reality to say, Chris, why? Open your eyes. Don't you realize? Christmas is all about becoming a child again. It's not just that you feel that tension around Christmas. It's actually at the very heart of Christmas. This idea of becoming a child again. And the more that I began to pray through it, and the more that I began to look at it, the more I began to realize in my life, and I think it's true in all of our lives, I think Christmas exposes something in our lives that's there all year round, but we're not usually aware of it. And that is this. We long to be able to experience life like we once did. But we've lost it. I believe there is a deep craving within every one of us to be able to experience life the way we once did. But it's gone. And we don't know how to get it back. And I think Christmas exposes it because we see kids experiencing Christmas, or we're reminded of how we once experienced Christmas. And for some of us, this lasted for a short amount of time. For some of us, it lasted a little bit longer. For some of us, we encountered things as children that made us grow up really, really fast. But for almost all of us, we can remember, even if it was a long time ago, we can remember what it was like to be able to really enjoy life. We remember what it was like to be able to trust. To be able to love with all of who we were without all these reservations and hesitations. I think there's a craving. And it's so deep, and for some of us it's so painful, we don't even want to go there, we don't even want to think about it. But there's something inside of us that says, man, I wish I could get that back. I wish I could get that back. And as I was reading through the story of Christmas over and over again this week, and as I was just looking at Jesus' life, he began to call me to the reality that, Chris, what you crave is exactly why I came. What you crave is exactly why I came. Christmas is all about becoming a child again. And it's not just the fact that you see it on the surface, of the fact that Jesus, what does Jesus do on Christmas? He becomes a child. He does something we would never expect for God to do. He gives up everything that's rightfully his, everything that he deserves, and he becomes a child. John talks about this as he's talking about the beginning of Jesus' story. He says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. Luke 2 is telling the story of Jesus' birth. He says, while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Philippians 2 talks about how he gave up everything in order for this to happen. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He becomes a child. But it's not just the physical nature of what happens at Christmas that calls us to this idea that Christmas would be about becoming a child. It has to do with the mission of Christmas. There's something that Jesus says that I'm not sure that we pay enough attention to. He says it in every one of the Gospels. It's recorded in every one of the Gospels. In Matthew, it's actually recorded twice. Matthew, as he's telling the story of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, he says this. It says, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, no, no. He says, the very mission of what I'm doing is this. You have to become kids again. He repeats it in Matthew chapter 19. It's a different situation, but Jesus again calls them to this. It says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Even when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says to him, he says, listen, the kingdom of heaven, he says, in order to be able to get in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. You have to become a child. You see, Christmas is not, it's not just an example of becoming a child. Christmas is all about becoming kids again. It's about going back to, it's about rediscovering, it's about becoming once again that kid. It's about being able to trust again. It's about being able to love that way again. I come home and I open the door and my boys run to me. Not every day, but most days they run to me and just throw their arms around me. This amazing love. We grow up as adults. We stop doing that. Why? We've lost something. Jesus says, I want to teach you how to love again. I want to be able to show you what joy is again, for it to be able to explode inside of you. It's uncontainable. He says, I didn't just come so you could have eternal life. I came so you could have life abundantly, so that you could recapture what you've lost. And I want to be able to move in your life in such a way so that you could begin to experience life like a child again. And make no mistake about it, I'm talking about like a child again, not like a teenager where you just make stupid decisions and act a fool. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like a child. He says, this is all about exactly what you crave. And you sit there in that moment and you think, man, I wish I could get back to. Jesus wants to restore in you. Jesus wants to restore in you. What you've lost as you've grown up and experienced all the brokenness and the sin, the pain, and all those things that have robbed from you what you once knew. That's what Christmas is all about. And over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be walking through all of the implications of what Jesus is doing in your life when he calls us to become kids again. And all the different ways that he's working to restore this within us. And all the different ways that this can show up in our lives. But it begins with family. One of the most amazing things about Christmas, especially when you're a kid, is family, and that you get to experience your family. I was talking to my son, and I said, man, what do you love about Christmas? And he said, I just love that we get to be together, Dad. We get to be together so much more at Christmas. I love that we get to be together, and there's a family aspect of Christmas that we get to enjoy our family. We get to be with our family. There's just something unique and special about being with family at Christmas. And again, for some of us, we experience this for a very short amount of time. For some of us, we experience this for a longer amount of time. Unfortunately, for almost all of us, this comes to an end. As a kid, you look forward to Christmas and you're excited about your family, but you look at it and then all of a sudden you begin to grow up and you realize, wait a second, I thought you guys liked each other. And you realize my family's screwed up and I'm screwed up and there's all of these things begin to happen and family begins to break down. Some of you are trying to figure out Christmas plans right now and your whole goal is how do I spend as little time as possible with family? Because there's all these scars and it begins to break down and people begin to work apart and begin to find out things you didn't know before. You come to the reality that this isn't what you thought. And sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's because someone does something that's wrong, hurtful. Sometimes it's just miscommunication. Sometimes you don't even know why it happens. But all of a sudden, one day you wake up and family is gone. At least what you once knew of family. That ability to be able to enjoy family, to be excited about, to look forward to family, is gone. And I think there are all sorts of things that God is working to be able to restore in us, to restore in the world around us as it pertains to us once again learning to become kids. But one of the foundation and fundamental elements of it is that he steps into our lives and says, I'm going to rebuild family for you. I'm going to rebuild family for you. And as he moves into our lives, the truth is he wants to do amazing things in our immediate family and the relationships that are restored and the way that we relate to our immediate family. But before he even gets to that, he says, before we even talk about that family, I want to talk to you about a new family. And I want to invite you into, and I want to bring you into a new family. And I want this to be a family where you can experience it like a kid, where you can enjoy it that way, where you can look forward to it that way, where you can engage it that way. So in order for that to happen, we're going to have to build this family on something different than what your other family was built on. We're gonna have to add something that your other family was missing. And the foundation of this family is going to have to be different. Because your other family and the families that we grow up in, they're based on love. They're based on the idea that, hey, we're in a family together. We're going to love each other, and we're always going to love each other. And we're never going to stop loving each other. And we're going to love each other as best as we possibly can. And that sounds really, really, really good. It sounds really, really, really good. As a matter of fact, some of you are like, wait a second, I thought that was the foundation of God's family. But here's the problem. Here's the problem when it comes to building your family on love. The problem is this. You're really bad at loving. You are. You should just admit that to yourself. I'm not going to make you say it to your neighbor because I know some of you would just be too painful. But you just need to admit that to yourself. You're not really great at loving. And you know what else? Your family's not great at it either. Your family is not great at it either. Some of you didn't agree with the first one, but you agree with the second one 100%. And you know what is true of you and me? There will come a time for every single one of us when we will do things in the lives of the people around us, even those that we love the most, even our family, that are unloving. And if the foundation of our relationship is love, then as soon as that breaks down, all of a sudden the relationship begins to break down too. And all of a sudden, all of these things begin to come in that we can't get past. And so Jesus says, no, we're not going to build this relationship just on love. No, love will be part of it. Love will be part of it. But we're going to build this on something else. We're going to build this on something else. This family is going to be built on grace. This family is not just going to be built on love. This family is going to be built on grace. Because I want for you to be able to be a part of a family where broken people can still enjoy each other. I want for you to be able to be a part of a family where broken people can still look forward to each other, where they can be excited about each other. He says, so we're going to take it to a whole different level, and we're going to build this family on grace. there's this moment in 1 Timothy where Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, I believe he captures beautifully the foundation of our family. What our family is all about is so important for us as we move into this Christmas. If we're going to experience and enjoy family like God's kids, the way that he calls us to, the way that he died to make possible in our lives, it's so important for us to understand this. And it's found in 1 Timothy, and we're going to begin in chapter 1, verse 15. And Paul's talking about himself in this moment, and he says this. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." He says, "Timothy, let me tell you something. You can trust this. You can trust this, Timothy. This is a trustworthy saying. Christ came into the world to save sinners." He said, "And you need to understand something. I'm the worst of them all." And it's interesting because you read that passage and you think, well, Paul, you did some pretty awful things. And Paul did some awful things. I mean, he persecuted Christians. He tried to destroy the church. He killed Christians. He did some really, really awful things. But Paul, are you really sure that you're the worst of them all? I mean, after all, there's some pretty terrible things that are happening inside of the Roman Empire at this time. There are people who are persecuting Christians in unfathomable ways. Paul, are you really sure that you're the worst of them all? But what Paul is doing is he's exposing something that is foundational to his relationship with Timothy, and it's also foundational in our relationship with each other. It is the foundation of our family, and that is this. That is this. I am aware of the fact that if God were to let me go, there is no telling how bad it would get. I am aware of the fact, and I believe what Paul is saying here is he's saying, listen, if it were not for the grace of God, if God were to take his hand off my life, if it were not from the grace of God, I cannot tell you how bad it would get. And let me tell you something, that's every single one of our stories. That is every single one of our stories. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that it's true. If God were to take his hand off your life, there is no telling how bad it can get. And almost every single one of us, when we look back through our story, we have time after time after time. I have time after time after time where I came this close to destroying everything, and it's only by the grace of God. God saved me from that moment. Also, the foundation of our relationship is, listen, I understand. I'm the worst of them all. And for some of you, you need to come to that point where you realize it's not your strength that saved you. It's not your willpower that saved you. It's only by the grace of God that you haven't completely destroyed your life. It's only by the grace of God you've been able to make it to where you are. It's only by the grace of God that you literally aren't the worst of them all. He says, Timothy, this is a trustworthy statement. He says, I'm the worst of them all. He says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his patience with even the worst sinners. He says, but I've experienced unfathomable mercy. The foundation of our family is not just love. The foundation of our family is grace. It's a realization that, listen, I am the worst of them all, but I have been drowned in God's mercy and grace. He says, but God has demonstrated unbelievable mercy to me. Unbelievable grace to me. I love the passage in Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I love this passage because it demonstrates the writer's understanding of just how broken he was, of the fact that literally he didn't just need God's mercy some days. He didn't just need God's mercy in part of the day. He needed God's mercy fresh every single day, all of the time. Living in this amazing reality that I am constantly experiencing the mercy of God. Paul says, I'm the worst of them all, but I have experienced unbelievable mercy. One of the great gifts that I have that God's given me is to be able to be up here on this stage every week because he calls me to his mercy and his grace because I don't deserve to be here. I don't even deserve to be in this room. If God were to take his hand off my life, I have no idea how bad it would get. But God has showered me with mercy. And he showered you with mercy. He says, this is a trustworthy statement. As he continues, he says, then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. He says, he didn't just do this for me. He did this for you too. He did this so that you'd be able to see God's mercy in my life. He also did this so that I could bring that mercy into your life as well. He did this so that I could bring this grace into your life as well. So that you'd be able to see it, so that you'd be able to experience it, so that I'd be able to say, listen, look at what I've received. Now I get to give that to you as well. This is the foundation of our relationship, not just that we love one another, but that we have grace for one another. The reason why we get to be excited about one another, the reason why we get to enjoy family again is because we have grace for one another. And so you can screw up, and guess what? I still value you and I still love you. I'm still passionate about you. We don't have to live with the expectations and the weight. And I'm not saying that sin's not a big deal. Sin is a big deal. It needs to be addressed so that we don't destroy our lives and destroy the lives of the people around us. It absolutely is, but we carry ourselves with amazing grace because of the fact that we understand, no, I am the worst of them all, and I have received abundant grace, so I can give it away. I love the way that Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. He says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. He says, listen, you're able to, because of what Jesus has done for you, you're able to not just love one another, but love one another in such a way that you're able to be gracious to one another. You're able to be patient with one another. That you're able to relate to one another not based on your performance, but you're able to relate to one another the way that God relates to you based on who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus has done for you. He says, I want to bring you into a family that you can enjoy. Not because it's a perfect family. It's not a perfect family. Dinner group's going to let you down. Guarantee it. I guarantee it. I promise you. You stay in that dinner group long enough, it'll let you down. Something's going to be said that's going to hurt you. I promise you. I'll put money on it. If you like to put money on it, I'll put money on it. It's going to happen. He says, this family is not going to be based on being perfect because that's not going to work. It's not going to be based on the fact that we're just going to perfectly love each other. No, that's not going to work. So no. It's going to have to be based on something else. It's got to be based on grace. It's going to be based on grace. So that even though we're flawed and even though we make mistakes, that we're still able to value and love, to enjoy and be excited about family. This Christmas, God wants for you to be excited about family, his family, the family that he's invited you to be a part of. He wants you to enjoy it and celebrate it. Some of you are here, and this is the first time that you've ever heard this. Let me tell you something. The invitation of Jesus Christ is to his family. He's inviting you into this family. What we're talking about can be yours, not because you're going to be good enough, because of the grace of God. Jesus Christ came and took all of your sin on that cross so that you could be forgiven, that you could be reconciled back to God, adopted into his family, and you could experience and enjoy family this Christmas. A family that's built on, based on, sustained by the grace of God. There are all sorts of ways that God wants for us to be able to recapture what we once knew as children. All sorts of things that become a reality when we follow him and being his kids. One of them is family. I love how he ends that verse in 1 Peter. He says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this December. I want to challenge you to take the time to enjoy family, to enjoy God's family. And maybe that's with your dinner group, maybe that's with the people that you serve, but to be able to take the time to enjoy it, not just move past it, but to enjoy the family that he's made possible, to move into it with grace and mercy, to allow yourself to once again become excited about it. We have an incredible family to be excited about. We have an incredible family to be excited about. Allow yourself to be excited about that, to enjoy it. Figure out ways to be able to expand it, to invite others to be a part of it, to bring others into it. May we this Christmas, take on what he's called us to. May we become children, his children, in the way that we relate to, experience, pursue and follow our dad, and the way that we love and move with grace into our family. Will you pray with me? Father, today, I pray that you would begin, to develop within us that craving that we have at the core of who we are, that you would not so much develop, but you would allow us to be able to see, that you would allow us to be aware of how we long for what it is that you gave your very life for. And Father, we want to follow you. We want to follow you and once again becoming your kids, to coming back to what it is that we were created for, to be a part of your family, to experience you, to follow you, to move in life in this way. And Father, I pray that this year would be an amazing Christmas for everyone in this room, because we begin to come to you as your kids, that we begin to experience your family as your kids. In Jesus' name, amen.